Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Travolting presents Bobbin for Robin. Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore. Covering Portrait of a White Marriage. Enjoy the episode.
So anyway, so I'm standing around. I'm standing there with my wife. And she goes up to me and she tells me, Harry, I want to go out for the night. And I say to her, all right, that's fine. Give me some free time. And it's a portrait of a white marriage.
That's about as funny as this
wow.
movie is. That's about as funny as this movie is.
Fell so fucking flat.
No, that didn't fall flat. That evaporated.
That literally, like, it was like droplets out on a 120 degree day in the Arizona heat that where you just hear the. Yeah.
But you know what's sad is I still gone. Put more effort into that than this movie put into than being
this movie
funny.
Did.
So like, you
well,
know,
I shouldn't be. We've there's like maybe one good joke in here, right? Like one.
What's the one good joke? I'm trying to remember. Was it Robin Williams?
No, the one good joke in this is probably...
I mean, he wasn't funny in this.
Yeah, he actually wasn't that funny is the problem.
Yeah.
There's like a joke during the end credits that I thought was pretty funny, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They made one good joke during the end credits.
Okay.
as like the it says like directed by Harry Shearer and all this stuff. It says you hear his wife go... Harrison Ford was someone's carpenter once, and or he goes, Harrison Ford was someone's carpenter once, and then she goes, just like Jesus. I'm like,
oh, brother, this guy stinks.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Okay.
Welcome to Portrait of a White Marriage.
This is a very weird thing that we're, you know, every time we do a person on the show. When we get to their like miracle run stage,
yeah,
there's always like one really weird thing that they did a cameo in.
Yeah.
Like when Winona was in like the midst of her like high time run, it's like she pops up in, what would you say her like weird cameo is?
Reality Bites?
And she's like,
or
she's
no,
like,
that's not a cameo. You're pretty, talking cameo, right?
Yeah, I'm talking like truly like they pop up for like one scene in some weird little thing. That like nobody else would have ever spoken of. Boy, I know Boys is like
I would say like maybe like Celebrity.
Yeah, maybe
isn't it a cameo in Celebrity or she?
Yeah, Celebrity. Well, Celebrity's like kind of a thing. Maybe Winona's maybe the one who bucks this trend. But like it's kind of
no,
like
no. I know what you mean though. It's like what?
But like the big one I think of is like
Great
Travolta,
Balls of Fire.
I think of Travolta popping up in like Boris and Natasha. Very
yeah.
specifically.
Right.
And we just have to cover these, like, this weird little object that just comes out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And.
Brendan Fraser and Glory Days.
Glory Days would. I mean, he's in Glory Days.
Is he in it?
He's like. But no, for him, it would be like a Kids in the Hall Brain Candy, where he's in that,
yeah,
like, one shot.
That's a good one. Yeah.
In addition to, of course, the Hillary Clinton Christmas video that we talked about. Right. But like, Bob, this is like Robin's like really weird installment right at the crest of his miracle run.
Yeah.
Just because like we're picking this up right after Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Munchausen. And Good Morning Vietnam. And the next movie is Dead Poets Society.
Yes.
It's not our next episode, but it is the next movie.
Yeah, well, like, I'd say, like, Robin goes on, like, a miracle run in the sense of, like, I was thinking about this prior of, like, Good Morning Vietnam showed that Robin could be a movie star. Dead Poets Society showed that Robin could be an actor.
Yeah.
So, because prior to Good Morning Vietnam, like, obviously with Popeye, it changes. But, like, prior to Good Morning Vietnam, it was thought at the time that Robin was not a sellable name anymore. And then it's funny enough that the next thing he would do is The Adventures of Barry Munchausen, a movie that he explicitly did not want like his name to be used
as like a favor,
a prop, you know. Yeah. They didn't want to sell it on the back of Robin's name. Portrait of a White Marriage, like I can't, Jeff, I have done so much fucking digging on this movie. And when I tell you that there's virtually almost no information on this.
Yes.
Besides like that Martin Mull plays himself.
Yeah, which is the I want to talk about.
We'll talk about that.
And then Harry because that's the weird part about this.
And then Harry Shearer.
Yes.
Harry Shearer is the director who also plays a role in this movie, right?
Yes. He's
like the manager.
Yeah, he's the manager.
And I'm looking through this and like there was something I read where it was like this was one of like a trilogy of like the white American family life or something like that. And that this is like, but I can't find anything else.
Yeah. So basically what I can infer about this, Martin Mull was like a moderately successful stand-up comic around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Who would, you know, he would have solid supporting roles in movies. He was in Clue. The thing is, he is like a real like comedian. Who,
sure.
Like he passed away last year. I think what people would most know him from is like Gene Parmesan in Arrested Development, which is an incredible bit.
Wow. Okay.
But like he's just one of those guys who's like steadily churning along and is like a working comedian in the industry.
Yeah.
And what's weird is like he's successful enough at this specific point in his career.
Yeah.
That he more or less gets a blank check.
This is a blank check?
That like he finally has enough clout that he can make something happen.
Okay.
Like everything else that he's in is all just like
this is he's in it. Can I do it till I need glasses moment.
Yeah, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But like if you look at his writing credits and his like creation credits, it is just a history of what is it? How do you say it? What's the full name? It's like called a History of White People in America.
Okay.
Which came out in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's A History of White People in America 2. Exciting. And then there's Portrait of a White Marriage, which is 1988.
Okay, so
it's over like a 3-year period of time. He like kind of churns these things out.
So I'm not crazy that he's like somewhat trying to make this like a trilogy in some case.
It's essentially a trilogy of like comedies, like social mockumentaries.
Uh-huh.
Is the correct term for it.
Right.
But it's weird because like I would not describe Martin Mull as like, you know, God rest his soul or whatever, but I would not describe him as like a huge name. Right. And so I always find it interesting when like a comedian or, you know, a smaller actor gets enough clout that they can finally make like the one thing that they really want.
There, I feel like there's a recent example of this.
There are a lot of examples that I just cannot like.
But it's like, don't you know those actors that they get enough clout on comedy and then they get the Brandon Stevenson show?
Yeah.
It's like that. I feel like it's like when Ben Stiller got his own show that ran for like 20 episodes and then got canceled. Am I crazy of thinking that's like somewhat of a similar thing?
It's somewhat similar, but the specific thing I would probably pull from is like a My Dinner with Andre type thing. which is Wallace Shawn and Andre Gregory. And the whole movie is just them sitting at a table together. Very well respected, very well liked. And it just kind of comes out of the two of them wanting to make a movie together. And instead of doing it as, or instead of doing it as a play, they want to do it as a movie. And both of them are, you know, have enough clout at this point that they can push this into being. Mm-hmm. They do it for very cheap, and make My Dinner with Andre. It's not like a one for one comparison, but it's a similar concept where it's like a kind of smaller at this point actor gets enough clout that they can really make something happen. And for Martin Mull, it was this.
Okay.
Which is so weird.
It's very weird. And then they got Robin in this movie, is a whole other weird thing.
It seems like he and Robin are friends because he's going to pop up later in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Got it. Because I've been reading through the book and going through like chapter after chapter. After the Good Morning Vietnam chapter, it goes straight into Oh Captain, My Captain chapter.
Yeah.
And it like totally misses like the next few things that, you know, like it doesn't even register Portrait of a White Marriage as being anything on Robin's career.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he's essentially in one shot. Almost.
Yeah. And actually
he's in a shot and a tighter coverage of the same shot.
Yeah. Yeah, basically he only needed, I bet he probably didn't even have hair or makeup. I bet he literally just showed up, did his bit.
He's a little slicked back in it.
Okay.
He's a little slicked. I think, you know, did him a 30 minutes in the trailer.
30 minutes in the trailer. Do you think it's his own wardrobe? Or do you think they actually fitted him?
They probably gave him a little outfit, right?
You think they gave him an outfit?
Gave him a little outfit.
I think he just said, just show up in a suit.
Now, this thing seems cheap enough. I would conceive that to be the case.
I just think this reads like he just showed up in his car in the parking lot of this fucking motel.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are the lines? Don't care.
but what I find so fascinating about this movie.
Yeah.
Is that Martin Mull, for all of this, isn't casting himself in like the lead role as a daytime talk show host who goes to this town and, you know, gets involved in a scandal and then learns a lesson by the end. No, he's not doing that. He's casting himself as himself in this situation.
Yes.
Who's seemingly like, it's like this really weird, like all that jazz-esque takedown of himself. As a homewrecker.
I just don't get it.
Like,
though.
I don't get it.
I don't
what is he
understand,
doing?
Like, is this supposed to make himself look bad or is this like social commentary? Because, like, it's the title Portrait of a White Marriage.
Yes.
Now, like, we've covered movies with white in the title before, and usually they're like in the sense of like trying to be a commentary.
Yeah. No, this is very much trying to be a commentary. I like
a commentary of what, Jeff? I don't know.
Just a comment. I think. If I were trying to interpret what this is trying to be about, I think it's very specifically just about like the fragile state of like Reagan era white marriages. It's like very specifically about like a couple where they both hate each other, but never externalize this until like essentially a match gets lit and thrown in and their marriage implodes. And it's just like a satire about all of the problems.
Ball and chain, huh?
Yeah, about that kind of. It's like Married with Children esque.
Yeah,
I don't think it's ultimately that successful of a satire, which is the problem.
No, it's not.
It's like very surface level observations.
But it's also like
the observations this movie offers are, I think my wife's cheating. I'm gonna go see a therapist, but I'm gonna sleep with the therapist. Am I right, boys? And like these are inherently so like if you told me the plot of this movie, which the problem is that like it's hard to remember the plot of this movie. If you told me, I'd be like, oh, that sounds like it could be funny as like a satire. And then this movie just isn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Fred Willard, who's playing the husband in it, Hal.
Yeah.
Very funny actor.
Yeah.
Extremely funny.
He's funny.
One of the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
And yet he's like kind of just
not funny in this
going
movie.
Into scenes and getting pretending to be drunk and yell at his wife.
Cause he says things like, yeah, this old ball of chain, though she ain't so smart and the kids made her less pretty.
Yeah, I'm like maybe she's not as thin as she used to be.
This isn't like a commentary on like just people who married each other that weren't incompatible. These are people who married each other where one of them is a complete fucking dick.
Yeah, it's like marriage. It's like just like a stagnant marriage.
It's, you know what it is? You know what it is? It's that episode of How I Met Your Mother where they make the fake movie of Ted Mosby.
I've never
seen this episode? I've never seen this. Basically, like in How I Met Your Mother, spoiler alert, Ted Mosby, who's the titular, like, like the main protagonist of the series, right? Have you seen any of How I Met Your Mother?
No.
Wow. Jeff.
What? Just like 9 seasons or whatever. I don't know.
No, it's just very impactful.
It's probably good.
Very impactful in my life. How I Met Your Mother, Ted Mosby, telling the story of how he met his kid's future mother. He gets left at the altar by this one chick who he's like going to marry. And he gets, and she runs away with her ex-husband, right? And then we go like to the next season, and Ted, and the whole crux of the episode is that Ted Mosby's holding baggage that he's been left at the altar. So he can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
And then they get this thing that there's this movie that's going to be released. And it's like Runaway Bride or something like that.
Yeah.
And let me see if I pull up a clip of this. But anyway, the bit of it is that the ex-husband who his like fiance ran away with became a movie producer. And he made like a fake movie about it. Found it.
Yeah.
Hey, Bonehead, I'm Jed Mosley. I'm the most powerful and corrupt architect in New York. I want...
Yeah.
It's like a satire
That
of making him look worse than he actually was.
That's the problem with this movie is that it is like... It's siding
I'm very proud
with
of myself for finding that.
That
bit.
Was a good
very,
pull.
Very good.
It's siding with the wife in this equation.
Yeah.
And he is like the dick who needs to shape up by the end.
Yeah.
Fred Willard.
That's a different movie.
Yeah. But it's like what he needs to shape up from is seemingly being like evil,
like a bad a bad human being.
Yes. Like.
It ain't just like, oh, we've lost interest in each other and our roommates now. No, it's
like he makes a public mockery of her. In like a town meeting. And then like the next thing is her going up to Martin Mull and being like, I'm just getting a little sick of my husband. It's like, what do you mean?
What
he just
do you
like
mean?
Screamed at you. Leave his ass.
Yeah.
Go be with Martin Mull playing himself. The object of sexual desire, I guess.
But then it makes the case that like Martin Mull's the bad guy.
Yeah. I don't, that's it. There's like a weird tangled web here.
I don't understand it either.
Harry Shearer does not display deft handling of complex storylines because I'm getting very lost halfway through this thing. I'm like, okay, so Martin Mull is not sleeping with her, but it seems like they are.
Yeah.
And so Fred Willard is sleeping with the therapist in retaliation, but now the whole town thinks Martin Mull's a creep and a homewrecker as himself, ruining his career of Martin Mull. While he's trying to do a show about people who don't have legs?
Yeah.
Trying to grapple with this thing, it's not like... It's simultaneously overly complicated and very surface level.
Yeah.
Like, the observations it makes is ultimately just like, men are given all the power in modern marriages, but they're also the immature ones who can't handle it.
It's the whole
that's like the basic observations making.
It's the whole like not to go this far into it, but it's like the whole thing with like very like religiously centered couples where it's like the man is the guardian of the household and it's like and like the woman serves the man. Like it's like that kind of old fashioned bit where it's like, have you ever asked your wife about that philosophy?
Yeah.
See how she agrees with it.
Yeah.
Without trying
to appease
you.
The movie's not even that interesting.
No, it's not.
That's the thing. It's like, it makes that very surface level observation, which is true, but like, it's not interesting really poking it anymore.
Because then Martin Mull enters the screen.
Yeah, Martin Mull just walks in. He's like, I don't know. We got women here who don't have legs because they were doing work at home with a weed whacker.
Crazy, right?
Crazy, right? And like, his like, come to Jesus moment as he meets Robin Williams, who's playing like an air conditioning salesman.
I pulled the clip up because I just thought I should just play it because it's not that very long.
Yeah,
you know, I just can get an idea for the clip, but maybe we should just talk about the movie first.
Yeah, no, we should.
All right. So Martin Mull is in not Chicago.
I feel like we kind of are. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe we just quickly go through.
What? Where are they at before they go to Springfield,
He's in
Ohio?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
He's doing a show in Pittsburgh.
The wife drives out to go see the show. Joyce Harrison,
who is played by Mary Kay Place.
Yeah.
Drives to Pittsburgh from somewhere in Ohio to watch Ask Martin.
Right.
Martin Mull's fictitious show within...
It's like a Jerry Springer-esque.
Yeah, Jerry Springer-esque.
Yeah.
Which does not seem like he was never running a show called... I don't know.
Like that's the thing. It's like, it's not even a commentary on his career because that was never his career.
That's not what he does.
Right. So she goes and they have a good show and then they're like, okay, join us next week when we're going to be in Chicago. And then,
Harry Shearer's in the back like, oh my God, we're losing Chicago.
I like that we both brought up the same accent. It's like, it's like, Martin, we're not going to be in the same. It's like,
Chicago.
It's like Doc Brown. It's like, Marty, we're not going to go to Chicago this year. Yeah. We're actually going to go to Ohio.
Yeah, what, Hawkins Spring or something?
Yeah, well, so like, you know, Joyce goes up and she's like a fan. It's like, Martin, Hal says hi because apparently Martin and Hal knew each other at some point. What's the connection with Martin and Hal? Was he from Ohio? From the place?
No, so Martin. Here's another thing that Martin had already done a show in this town before.
What?
Like it's established he went to this town before.
Who the fuck cares?
And so like she meets him at his show again.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, he's just lost Chicago and he's like, I need somewhere to go where there's people who will attend my show.
And he's like, you lady.
And she's like, I can rally up a bunch of housewives to come see it.
You're a big fan in our town.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, I'll come to the town.
And so they go to the town and they make a whole big deal of it. They have this is where like we find like her marriage with Hal is terrible because Hal is just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's just a bad person.
Bad husband.
They have kids.
They do.
That's
they're
all.
In college.
They're there somewhere. And
no, the kids leave for college in the first scene and then come back for the wedding at the very end. That's
very
it.
Good. Very good. So Joyce gets hired as like Martin's basically like assistant.
Yeah.
Who like gives him ideas for the show. They do their first episode and it's like pretty much a flop because they go through their topics very quickly and nobody bothers to ask him questions. No.
I want to say Martin Mull is someone with a good reputation. He is.
Okay. I believe you.
Which is why it's very weird for him.
You don't have to convince me.
No, it's why it's very weird for him to make a movie where his character's plot line is hires an assistant and is then scapegoated by the entire town as having slept with her and ruined her marriage. It's like a very weird thing for him to do.
Yeah.
Like that's something someone who like had done that would do in a story to like as an apology. But he's like, no, I didn't sleep with her. See?
It's fucking weird. And so then basically... they draft up some more ideas and he's like, Joyce, you're going to have to work late with me at my hotel. And so she calls her husband and it's like, Hal, I'm not going to be home late. I'm going to be up late with Martin and a staff, to go over some ideas. Meanwhile, Hal is going to therapy by this one woman who seemingly like really wants to fuck him.
Yes.
That's all her motivations and desires are in this. And so she goes to the hotel and they find out that it's just her and Martin.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at this hotel, a reporter shows up.
Yeah, this annoying ass reporter
character. Who's doing a whole piece on Martin coming into the town. The reporter listens in, and what's happening behind doors is they are not indeed sleeping with each other. Instead, Martin is going over a scripted line that Joyce is supposed to say because she's going to be planted in the audience and say some of the degree of, I like it when the lights are on, like that kind of raunchy shit. She's like, I wouldn't be caught dead saying this in public.
And he's like, please, just say it.
Just say the words. Say the words, Joyce. But he hears that and is like, oh, my God, Hal's wife's having sex with Martin Mull. I got to go. And so then he goes to Hal's house and they're like, Hal, you won't believe this. Your wife's like, oh, I know about my wife. And then there's a misunderstanding. And he thinks like, oh, you like sold your wife off to Martin.
Yeah.
in order for him to like be in this parade, which is going to give you more money or some bullshit. Yeah. And then the truth comes out of like, no, 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 that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your wife having sex with Martin Mull. And Hal's like, what do you mean?
This is so overly complicated.
And so then he goes to his like, therapist.
What are we doing here?
He talks to his therapist and he's like beating something. And you find out he's beating the couch with a bat with his shirt off. Why is his shirt off, you might ask? I don't know. His therapist wants his shirt off. She says, we're going to get through these aggressive feelings, even if it takes us all night long.
And this movie does a lot of the saxophone starts kicks in.
But why male models?
And so they have sex. Hal drives home, finds his wife in bed. He showers, wake up the next day. Hal's like, you know, honey, if you and Martin have something more than a friendship, that's fine by me. And she's like, what are you fucking talking about? Because by Joy's standards, like, she never slept with Martin.
Yeah.
I'm going through this as dry as I humanly can because there's nothing left to really.
The thing about this movie is like it's trying to be a satire and thereby be funny. But it's really fucking dry.
This is the vibe of the whole movie.
Yeah, it's crickets. Like it's a, you're just like watching these upsetting situations happen in this marriage and you're just like, this isn't funny. Like this isn't like Woody Allen where like
right. There's no jokes.
Yeah, there's
So anyway, they go to the show again and like Joyce is like planting herself in the audience and doing her bits and it's making the show a little bit better. And so then Martin's manager leaves him to go to a different show because he got a better offer. And he's like, well, don't worry. You're in the safe hands of Joyce Harrison. Yeah. And so then rumors spread around the town that Joyce and Martin are sleeping together.
Rumors circulating in the town.
And so then eventually Joyce gets the idea like, oh, Hal must have heard these rumors that Martin and I are having an affair. She talks to Hal's therapist.
Yes.
And Hal's therapist
seemingly
is
the
like,
only therapist in the town.
Right. And she's like, well, what gets Hal excited? He's like, well, he really likes it when you wear spiked heels. I'm like, okay, well, you should wear spiked heels in front of Hal. And she tries, but then Hal doesn't notice her. So then she's sad about it. She goes over to Martin's place. And so then Martin at this point is like, and that's when she discovers the truth that Hal slept with his therapist. So then she goes back to the motel and she's crying in Martin's arms. She's like, Martin, my marriage is over. He's going to leave me. Oh my gosh. And then Martin is going to like try to put the moves on her, but she's like, no, 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 this is wrong. I can't do this. I must go make amends with Hal. And then she leaves. And then Martin's chasing her back when there's a knock on his door.
Joyce?
How much?
Excuse me?
Well, for a little blonde there in the Anne Margaret outfit.
Robin Williams enters the frame.
She's an employee.
Employee? Ooh. Me, I've been putting on $5,000 for snacks on my tax.
Nice talking to you.
Oh, where are my manners? Forgive me, Jesus. There you go, right there.
Bill Loman.
LeMan. There we are. ACP.
Mm-hmm.
A P stands for products. Mm-hmm. I bet you can't guess what the AC is.
Ambulance chaser, ant crusher, aircraft carrier. Hell, I don't know, Bill, and I'm very tired.
Air conditioners. We've got your maintenance, your installation, and your hardware. Everything. It's one stop before you drop. It's all right in there. I got more filters than a pack of Marlboros, and also 50 feet of rubber hose.
Fascinating.
Hey, I didn't mean to pull your chain about the little chippy there, but I was just looking for a little relief myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's cute. Looks kind of like June Allison. I bet she's got a voice like tearing a sheet of homosode, huh? Me, I'm normally into a younger redhead who can keep a tune. I got one up and out, but he doesn't even charge me anymore. Got a roommate who's a drummer. Mm-hmm. I could tell you stories, curl your hair, you know? Yeah.
Mr. Loman, what you do with your private life is really no concern of mine. And that woman who you so graciously referred to as a chippy happens to be someone that I may very well be falling in love with.
Good luck.
Good night.
Need any rubber? Oh. Okay. Well, it's a call out, I guess.
That's Robin's whole scene.
Yeah, it's Robin's whole sequences. Like, it's kind of like the idea here is that this is the interaction that changes Martin Mull's character's mind that women are people with agency, I guess. And like he's actually falling in love with her instead of just treating her like an object. Right? Ostensibly, that's what I think the point of that sequence is. Robin is funny in it, or within reason.
He gives like one funny joke about I spent $5,000 on my tax return on snacks. Like I don't know what he's doing.
Like, he's
clearly
just doing this because he's friends with Martin Mull and like wants to throw him a bone.
And
like do a fun little thing like he used to.
The next day it's the show and Joyce shows up in a wedding dress and so does Hal and they're like, let's renew our vows on the show.
Well, no, she shows up and everyone thinks that she's going to marry Martin Mull and like leave her husband. But then Hal, at the final moment, shapes up, shows up in a wedding suit, a tux, with their kids in tow, and they renew their vows.
And Martin
then they
Mull.
Sit in the parade. And Martin Mull is banished back to the depths of hell from whence he came. He's, no! And he's holding on to it's like Satan with the pitch. No, I'm kidding.
And the movie's over. Did this movie even have a theatrical release?
No, this Cinemax release. It's like a Cinemax TV thing. I thought that moment of silence would be funny.
Yeah.
I think it was.
So
like
I don't really have anything else to say. This is not really anything on Robin's radar that we really have any credence or effects on his career whatsoever. I don't even think half the people know that this movie even exists with Robin in it. You know, if you look at Letterboxd, one of the first reviews will be like, I was trying to do a deep dive on Robin Williams and somehow I came across this movie and I thought, what the hell is this? And then I fell asleep because I was so bored.
Okay.
This movie took me like 4 hours to watch because I kept getting distracted.
I've done a little bit of digging.
Good.
Stuart, I've done a little bit of digging.
Very good.
And so this actually does have story connection to the other two installments in this trilogy.
That's what I thought. I thought this was like somewhat a continuous bit of the other white American movies or whatever the hell they're called. Like, look, folks.
It's unclear if, Hal Harrison, Fred Willard played Hal Harrison in two episodes of the TV show Cinemax Comedy Experiment. Two of the episodes were the history of white people in America, volume 1 and 2. So this is the third installment about the Harrison family, which is, I think, in small part. But this movie doesn't play as if, like, I'm just like back. I'm baffled by this thing. Because the first two are apparently just documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
The idea seemingly was that they were documentaries about white people done in the styles of documentaries about minority groups to kind of like turn the lens around and make fun of white people.
Mm-hmm.
But then for some reason, which sounds fun, but then for some reason, the third installment, which is this Portrait of a White Marriage,
is a narrative movie,
is a narrative film. That drops that whole aspect. And it's just about like Martin Mull seemingly like, I don't know, getting in the weed, getting like stuck into this thing.
I couldn't tell you, buddy. I couldn't tell you. Fred Willard went on to be an Anchorman.
Fred Willard did go on to be Anchorman. He's fantastic.
And he's really good.
He's also great in WALL-E.
What was he in WALL-E?
He's the live action guy and the president of the company
right.
in WALL-E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's good in a lot of things. I shouldn't just say WALL-E, but he's very good in a lot of things. I mean, I think one of his last performances was I Think You Should Leave, where he played the crazy guy in the church on the piano. But no, he's fantastic. He's a little funny in this. I don't know. I'm just genuinely baffled by this thing. I don't really know what to make of it. Perhaps it's a you had to be there in 1988 when it aired on Cinemax.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you have any other things to say about?
I mean,
Robin
comes out of this, and he did this as like a favor, but maybe you know it inspires him to cast Martin Mull and Mrs. Doubtfire a few years later because they're still friends.
Who's he in Mrs. Doubtfire?
I actually don't know, but I know he's in it.
Okay.
I saw it on his credits list when I looked him up.
Got it. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
thanks to Rebecca and Michael. And join us next week for the recap
episode. Follow, like, subscribe, smash that like button. at Trolling Pod Cast. Blue Sky. Instagram. Yeah.
Bye.
Take us out of your street.